Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. This weekend, college football's championship games is finally here. We have the Big Ten title game coming up. Michigan with a premier, wonderful shot at getting to its first college football playoff. We've got the Michigan Wolverines taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes Saturday night on Fox in the Big Ten championship game from Lucas Oil in Indianapolis. Joining us here on the show, he's been a Big Ten Network contributor. He's been a member of the Ohio State Buckeyes National Championship team. He's talked college football with us in the past as well. Always love getting his perspective on things. Our friend Joshua Perry. Joshua, good morning.
Morning. How are we doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Last week, look, Ohio State was an 8.5-point favorite. Harbaugh had never beaten the Buckeyes. He's had such trouble with top five opponents, and everybody figured, including myself, it'd go the same way. How surprised were you that not only was Michigan able to turn the trick and win, but that they really dominated the trenches throughout the game?
That the fact that they dominated the trenches was the surprise to me. And not that they had players who could get it done. It was the lack of physicality on Ohio State's behalf. I think that really stood out. And it seemed like Michigan had haymakers that they could throw all day, and Ohio State didn't have a counterpunch in that game. And we knew that guys like Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo could be an issue if you didn't have the right protection answers for them. But the way that Michigan's offensive line was able to move Ohio State's front seven off of the football and get them 3 and 4 and 5 yards away from where the line of scrimmage was truly a surprise. But the fact that Michigan was actually able to pull this game off didn't shock me a ton. And I spent a lot of time before the game talking about how Michigan, in my mind, was the most complete team in the Big Ten, to where they had a pass game, and I think it was a lot of narrative that they couldn't throw the ball. I thought they had a very effective pass game for what their quarterback was and how their receiver room was really starting to develop. Obviously, their run game speaks for itself, and then a really solid defense with a great special teams unit, whereas Ohio State was the team that had potentially the most explosive offense in college football and three wide receivers that could get the job done, but maybe the run game was inconsistent at times, and surely the defense was inconsistent too. So just the fact that Michigan was able to put together a complete performance, I don't think was a shock. It was the utter lack of physicality from Ohio State that really opened my eyes.
It's a big favorite for Michigan this week. They're an 11-point favorite against Iowa. Design for me the Iowa game plan that upsets the Wolverines on Saturday.
Oh, man, it's going to be a tough one. So, obviously, their defense is going to have to come. And this is a defense that has been really good at its best. They've been phenomenal. So that the Iowa defense at its best is what's going to have to show up in Indianapolis. I think that they are going to have some big momentum swinging special teams plays. And they had a blocked punt against Nebraska that I think really turned the momentum in that game and was the deciding factor there. And they've had kickoff return touchdowns throughout the season. I think they've got the Big Ten returner of the year. And so those are the type of plays that they're going to have to make on defense and special teams to have that in a place where it's attainable. But you have to score points. And offensively, I think it's a real challenge for them because the run game has showed some major inconsistencies. And they just don't have the quarterback that you feel like can win the game on their arm. Where they've had some success, I think, is when they can be creative offensively. And what I mean by that is they put the running back out in the route and they put him on an angle route, a wheel route, whatever type of situation works against the defenses that they're shown, and they can get good from the ball there. The issue is with Michigan's defensive line, I'm not exactly sure you want to put the running back in the route very often, but also using some of the tight ends and some, tight end delay plays and some screens I think would work well for them. It's going to be a challenge for that offense to move the ball against Michigan's defense, though.
Joshua Perry joins us to break down the Big Ten championship game this morning here on the program. Speaking of Michigan's defensive line, man, Aiden Hutchinson destroys backfields. He's got 13 sacks on the season, a pair of forced fumbles. He was just a terror on Saturday against Ohio State. How do you block Hutchinson, and what makes him so devastating?
First off, what makes him so devastating is two things. Is number one, he just has the elite traits of a great pass rusher. He's got the first step. If you watch the tape, he's the first guy off the ball, offensively or defensively. His first step is phenomenal. He's a guy who understands that pass rushing comes with a plan. So you can build your pass rushes to where he'll threaten you up the field to start, and then he'll hit you with an up and under, and then he'll hit you with a hesitation. And these are all things that he understands because of things that he had done earlier in the game. Then he's got great contact balance to where you try to hit him, but you can't really ever knock him down. He's got phenomenal hips, and his hips work with his hands, like just a really good pass rusher. The second thing that works in his favor is the guy on the other side named David Ojabo, to where it makes it really tough to say, okay, we're going to turn our protection toward 97 because then you got 55 on the other side who can wreck games as well, right? And so if you're an offense, you have to take your chances when you want to run max pro. And you have to keep the running back in the backfield. You should use chip protections all the time where your running back is getting a piece of them, your tight end is getting a piece of them before he gets out in the route. And then I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to tell your running back or your tight end, like, hey, you know what, these pass concepts are not designed for you this week. They're designed for you to stay in and make sure that these guys on the edges don't wreck the game so we can actually throw the football down the field. That's something Ohio State didn't do, which really shocked me. But teams who have had success in locking Hutchinson up specifically, but even Ojabo, have made a decision that their passing concepts are going to be four or less guys in the route, and they're going to use extra receivers in protection to make sure those guys don't wreck the game.
Joshua Perry, our guest this morning here on the DA show, and he played at Ohio State. He ended up being in the college football playoff when they won the national championship, also was a team captain. And when you were there, you actually had a relationship and had some type of familiarity with Marcus Freeman. Now, Marcus Freeman looks like he's going to be the next head coach at Notre Dame. He was a GA at Ohio State. What was your relationship to Marcus, and what traits do you know of him that translate into why the Irish would promote him into such a huge job?
Yeah, I got to know Marcus for like a couple of years when I was getting recruited. He was a GA at Ohio State, and I was local. I just spend time with him in the film room and time with him out on the field, and he would just, kind of really show me the culture of what being an Ohio State linebacker was like, because he was a great linebacker at Ohio State. But even from that point, he was still super young. He's still super young right now. You could tell he is smart, just extremely intelligent, He understands how to communicate with people. He understands just the game of football and how it's supposed to be played. He is a phenomenal teacher, and he can recruit his ass off. And I think those are all the things that you really want in a guy who's leading a program, is a great teacher, somebody who understands how to connect with people, and you want somebody who's going to be a really good recruiter. And so for him, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I also think that this is something that Notre Dame really wants to do. Like, I think that this is a university who wants to have a young African-American head coach running their football program. And I think it's going to work because you can, from what we're hearing from that program, the current guys on the roster really want it. Recruits really want it. And the fact that nobody on that coaching staff seems to want to go with Brian Kelly, they want to stay with Marcus Freeman. They want it too, and they trust him to get the job done. So I think this is awesome, just in terms of what it means for Marcus's career, and I think the success that he can have at Notre Dame.
What do you think that says that the staff would prefer to stay at Notre Dame versus travel with Brian Kelly to LSU?
Says a lot. You know, like, these are the people that know him best. These are the people that work with him every day, and they would rather stay with an unproven first-time head coach who's, you know, 35 or 36 years old, then the 60-year-old head coach who's proven that he can compete for national titles, hasn't won it, who's proven that he can build a program, who's won 10-plus games a season. Like, that is the ultimate coup, in my opinion. And Brian Kelly is a guy who I think folks understand is extremely hard to work with. I think that he is somebody who's been abrasive at times, and people realize that. But it's not even like the current guys on his staff. Tony Alford, who's running back coach at Ohio State, was offered a job at LSU with Brian Kelly, and they worked together at Notre Dame, I think, in, you know, maybe 2012 through 2014 or whatever the case was there. He said no, and that was probably going to be a pay raise and maybe a little bit more control and offensive flavor for Tony Alford, and he doesn't want to do that. And it's just, it's really unique to me, because I think as a coach, when you win a lot of games, you can get away with a ton, but everybody has their breaking point. And I think the way that everything went down and how public it was to everybody except for, you know, the people that it mattered to most, the coaching staff and the players, they had to find out after everybody else did. I think that really bothered people.
What do you think about Brian Kelly calling a team meeting the morning after this gets out? I think it was 7 a.m. in the morning. And then addressing the team for about 5-7 minutes or so, and then not taking any questions. Do you think that was the wrong way for him to handle it?
Yeah, so the whole thing is hard, right? And if you're Brian Kelly, I think in hindsight, you want to have a conversation with your team and let them know what the possibilities may be. It's never going to sit right, because this is a team that is literally on the outside looking in on the college football playoff, but it's better than blindsiding them. But you have to think from LSU's perspective, like, they don't care if the news gets out before Brian Kelly can talk to his team. They have to worry about what's in their best interest and what their fan base wants and what their boosters want to see and what they want to hear. And that's the hard part about it. Now, you go back and you call a meeting in the morning, and I think that is a time where if you want to address your team face-to-face, then you need to let them have an opportunity to speak back to you. But from Brian Kelly's perspective, that does nothing for you, because all you're going to do is literally get chewed out by the players. And I don't think that would have been a good situation for him, nor would it have been good really for team morale, because as a player, that's not something you can control. And now you're putting your energy into things that are detracting from your ability to compete in whatever bowl game or maybe even the college football playoff that you might be in. So the whole thing to me is a mess. I don't like the way that it necessarily went down. I can understand certain aspects of it, but I think this is illuminating to just how big the business of college football is, because Brian Kelly's leaving a job where he can get close to national championships, but he understands he can't win national championships. And he's going to a job where he's got more fertile recruiting ground, where you've seen three different coaches win a national title. And quite frankly, they're going to pay him a ton of money to get the job done.
You were on a national championship team. You had the talent to do so. Notre Dame is close, as you said. They could be in the college football playoff as of Sunday when they make these decisions. If you're a player on Notre Dame and you get thrust into the college football playoff because Cincinnati loses or something happens on Saturday, how do you handle attacking that game without your head coach? Is there anger? Is it, I will show you? Is it, it doesn't matter, it wasn't about the coach? How does a player's mentality handle that?
It's all that. It's literally all of that. I'm going to prove this sucker wrong, and he could have stayed or should have stayed and could have been a champion, and now he's going to have to deal with the team that he left that's now a contender from here on out. And I think players can really channel that type of stuff. It's so interesting, the psyche of a football team and the psyche of a player when you feel, and we've seen Bill Belichick do it with Tom Brady and all these different things, but when you feel like you're the underestimated one and when you feel like you're the one who's been done wrong and you feel like you're the one who's doubted, it's dangerous. It builds a really dangerous mentality among players. And I think that's something that Notre Dame can channel. Now, whether it works out or not is a totally different thing, but you talk about preparation. A big part of preparation is motivation. You prepare a lot harder when you're more motivated towards your goals. And I think that this team would have every ounce of motivation that they would need at this point.
Joshua Perry joining us. He was part of that national championship team a couple of years ago with Ohio State. He's a Big Ten Network analyst, did a lot of cool stuff over the course of this football season with us. He also had a great Q&A on 11warriors.com. So he's all over the place. Check him out on Twitter as well. His Twitter feed is awesome and insightful. Joshua Perry joining us this morning on the program. Josh, man, it's always great to catch up, brother. Thank you so much for the time today. Enjoy the Big Ten title game, even though Michigan's in it for you guys. And we'll talk to you down the road, bud.
Always appreciate you having me.
Okay, Joshua Perry joining us this morning on the show. Excellent stuff. Once again, Michigan, Iowa, coming up 8 p.m. Eastern time on Fox in the Big Ten title game. When we come back here on the DA Show, 12 DAs of Christmas is here. The first of the first four out. It's a bat flip for Pete the Body. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Did he ever tell you why I'm not allowed to food shop?
No.
Because I shop too healthy.
Ostrich eyes, am I? Oh, no! No! I'm a Yankee fan! People are going to see this! I have family in St. Lucia, but I look like a fraud! I'm going to look like Jim Murray! You don't do this to people!
This boxer, he's putting up a three-level, four-bathroom, three-bedroom place, man.
Why does your chef sound like a jazz singer?
Have you ever owned a goat before?
I have. Was golfing with me one day.
She was golfing. What was her handicap?
Broken neck.
Got it.
Unbite me! Holy crap, it's hot at the bottom! You fuck!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheer!
Today is the first of the first four out. We go back to January 20th. We were still working from the home studios during the pandemic. However, Pete was back in the studio. Pete never left. Pete was the sole set of hands inside the CBS Sports Radio studios for us. We got a lot of callers around then, or listeners that said, nobody's picking up our calls. We want a call. Nobody's picking up the phones. So we were needling Pete about that. Pete said, fine, we got a caller on hold right now. You want him? We said yes. And then this happened. I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? I don't know. They might be calling. They might not. Pete might pick up the phone. He might not. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah. No, and I think, honestly, what I figured out is Pete just doesn't see the phones ringing because it's pitch black in there. That
is the difference. Well, you have a call now if you want it.
Oh, we have a call?
Sure.
Okay, who's on hold? This is like mystery package.
He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, were you going to tell me this, or was I just going to have to go on a Pete doesn't answer the phone calls rant before I get one?
No, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
We got a full bank of calls. You can't know it, but we got a full bank of calls.
Well, DA, if you would have said something, I would have told you. Why didn't you say you wanted phone calls?
Are you going to take the call?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pete, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Who is it? This is exciting.
This is Lance, New Mexico.
nerve with Coach Bob Davey, and then Holly Holm, I'm the only one that predicted it in town, kicked Ronda Rousey's face in. And nobody else said, they're just so weak here. And I was the one that said, she's going to beat her. But every morning you make me laugh, and I thought I'd try to return the favor. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Good job screening, Pete.
Okay. Hey, this is where we don't take the call.
This is all types of perfect. This is exactly why Pete doesn't answer the phones. He's like, you see, D.A., you want that? Is that what you want? He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes. This dude just randomly yells about Ronda Rousey, then hangs up the phone. Great AFC championship game.
Let's get DJ Tommy Q on the phone.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're in the radio, Sean. Call something up. Stand by.
He said, Pete said, you want it, you got it. The guy rambles about Ronda Rousey.
Have a good day.
January the 20th. Have a good day. That's what that clip is now nicknamed.
Great day.
Oh, man. Pete was so upset at us. We just kept needling him. Where's the calls? Where's the calls? Where's the calls? Meantime, he's the only guy in a darkened cave of a studio where nobody has had any life for 7 months since. We had still been at home. Pete's like, okay, you want calls? All right. One of my favorite parts about that is Pete doing his best Bob Barker 1980s game show host. Here's Lance in New Mexico.
Come on down.
Teeing up the most terrible phone call that had nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes whatsoever.
Next, you're going to play Plinko.
And did Lance say he was doing us a favor that we make him laugh so he wanted to make us laugh for a change?
Yes.
Okay, Lance.
Yeah. Well, he did. All these months later, we're still laughing.
And then as Lance hangs up, Pete has a very subtle, there you go.
There you go. That's so good. I miss that every time I edited this clip. I first edit. That's the beauty of the 12Ds. The more you listen, the little lines you pick up on throughout.
Have a great day. Have a great day. Like, Pete was customer service and just like so annoyed by our constant questions about it. He hung up the phone. Have a nice day. Have a great day.
Think about that though, DA. How rare in life you get the opportunity Pete got there, which is, you're getting crushed for something, you feel just, and you don't think you should be getting crushed, and then in real time, something happens where magically you get justified, and that was that call coming in to put it up was, okay, fine, boom, the ultimate bat flip.
Well, as the late Jim Fossil would say, like, I'm putting all my chips in the table, that's what happened there. I knew exactly where it was going. I knew what was going to happen, and that's why that call went up, because it was setting up my point to a T.
You want a call? We have somebody on the phone. His name's Lance in Mexico. Why don't you take him, D.A.?
And we made the Super Bowl.
Dixieland Dan tweets, Mraz thinks he works hard at the 12 DAs, but he forgets Pete the Body has to plow through 85 hours of Mraz's brain farts and dumb moments just to put together the year of the buffoon. I'm telling you guys, give Pete a raise. Greatest board op ever.
Got that right.
I'm sign stealing now. I've become hip to the act. Now that we return to studio, if you notice, every time I bring up knowing when I've gotten something wrong, it's not the telltale of your guys' eyes. I see Pete's pen moving on a piece of paper right down the timestamp. And I know. That's when I trigger. I go, wait a minute. I'm wrong about something here.
Where does this year's Year of the Buffoon rank from the early sketches right now, Pete? How's it looking?
The early sketches, I can't tell in the early sketches. This is, I would say, like in the middle right now, but I think... We have more. I haven't really got to yet. So, and there's a lot we haven't got to yet. So I could see this being a show stealer at some point.
Okay. And we usually do that after the 12 DAs of Christmas. Tiny Elvis tweets, Brian Kelly looks like he's been running the Midwest routes of Big Worm ice cream trucks. Those are my chili cheese Fritos, stealing adolescent innocence since 1995. Mraz, can you see Brian Kelly running an ice cream truck?
Yes, actually, the hat and everything. And I think old school ice cream truck. He could totally dress like the Good Humor Man.
Now, Carnage. Carnage Hive.
This is going to be good.
Carnage Hive tweets. I love reading people's usernames. It's now one of the favorite gags here on the show because they're all so ridiculous. Ranch has been a thing since at least the millennium started. Mraz is off his rocker about randomly declaring 07 year of the ranch.
All right, I'll fight him on that. I didn't say, and this is where people choose to hear what they want to hear. This goes back to the Golic segment. I didn't say ranch was invented in 07. I didn't say people didn't enjoy ranch before 07. I proclaimed that it boomed and became you couldn't turn anyone getting ranch in different ways in 07, making it the year of the ranch.
Now, Fatty Crackers backs up Mraz. You're right about the timing of ranch. It's the same era that BK was doing a huge push of their new sandwich, the tender, crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Boom.
Now, that just feels like they were – is that a real sandwich, or are you just picking random words and slapping them together and calling them a BK
sandwich? They had the tender crisp sandwich, they had the big bacon barbecue one, and then they came out with the ranch one. He's absolutely right. And Pete the Body was actually wise to this when talking about fast food campaigns before. He goes, you could tell a place is out of ideas and or struggling when they just start adding bacon to everything. A lot of these places will do that with bacon, or they'll do it with just, we have this dressing line around, let's put it on this and let's call it our special.
Would you say that also it could be the beginning of the end or a bad sign when somebody does a football food of the week and all they do is add bacon to it?
Well,
yes. Yeah.
Or dipsy
yes.
doodles?
Yes. All right. Can I ever make a food again without dipsy doodles? By the way, none of you clowns were at a Thanksgiving when I gave you the waffle press panini. That was great.
French onion dip with bacon was actually one of your football foods of the week.
I will tell you, I'm going to get ahead of this. Tomorrow is a dip.
Oh, come on.
No. But a dip I've never used before.
Oh, it doesn't
a dip
matter.
A listener sent me. No. And it's a twist on a dip.
Not even your dip.
Is it Spanish onion dip?
No.
Now, didn't...
French onion dip without bacon?
Didn't...
Take the bacon out.
It's French onion dip with loco Doritos. No, but get this, guys. The Doritos are spicy Doritos.
Didn't see that coming.
You won't imagine how it dances on your taste buds. It's like you're at a...
Wait a minute, I think I wrote that in this one. Damn it!
That was like the era of 2009 when you had the 3D Dorito.
I finished that at 5 a.m. I think I used the word dances again. I guess that is a crutch.
You remember 1998, the year of the hot picante salsa, right? Julio Iglesias is hot on the charts. Well, just imagine your French onion dip with picante.
Never been done.
Totally different.
It's a totally, throwback.
It's a totally different take on an old classic.
When are you doing grilled cheese without the crust? I want to be here for that. Please don't do that during a holiday.
Hey, you could do eggnog meatballs.
It's PB&J without the crust. Guys, you remember when you were a kid, right? And everybody hated the crust? Well, let's throw this thing back to when you were 7 years old.
I hate that that basically describes what was going to come at some point.
It's New England clam chowder with oyster crackers. Now, guys, we all know the smooth, delicious taste of New England clam chowder. But what about if we added some little crunchy crackers to it? It helps be a vehicle for the taste buds dancing in your mouth.
Again, with the dances in your mouth. Do I use that too much?
Yes.
Tickles your taste buds is my other one.
It's a cheeseburger with guacamole. Now, guys, we all know we love the cheeseburger. The cheese melts ooey-gooey on top. You bite into it. The flavor just bursts on your tongue. It dances on your palate. But what happens if we added a slop of guacamole? Then, bang, that cheeseburger's taken to the next level. Well, guys, that's what I'm bringing you today.
Oh, no.
That tickles on your taste buds.
Is this an infomercial?
Oh, no, but it's so accurate. I hate how accurate it is.
Yeah, Mirage, you're the next Ron Popeil.
No, but that actually hurts because it's not even a mock. It's better than Caliendo doing Gruden.
This week's football food of the week, the guaca burger. Now, guys, we all know what a cheeseburger tastes like, but what about if I added a beautiful, smooth slice of avocado to it?
Back to you.
I like
how much
Cowboys
is shipping and handling?
Seven.
I like the
Now, we all know 1995 was the year of guacamole. I mean, Jennifer Lopez was hot on the charts. She's obviously Latin.
Now, we all like these long spear dill pickles.
But what George Lopez was hot on TV. We all know this was the era of guacamole.
I love George Lopez. It's a show.
All right, AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We got headlines sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Pick up some today. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. For the first time since 1990.
We had to there. From that to our sports.
We just transition with an air raid siren that just wakes the hell out of you every single day.
For the first time since 1990, MLB owners have locked out their players. It is baseball's first work stoppage of any kind since the 94-95 player strike. It happened overnight after the previous CBA expired. The two sides met again yesterday for just 7 minutes. Now, during the lockout, teams cannot even talk to players, let alone sign or trade them. The Cubs snuck in a 3-year, $71 million deal with former Mets righty Marcus Stroman yesterday, and the Red Sox signed veteran lefty Rich Hill while trading outfielder Hunter Renfro to the Brewers for Jackie Bradley Jr. Notre Dame apparently leaning towards promoting defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to head coach. Offensive coordinator Tommy Reese is staying put. Week 13 in the NFL begins in the Superdome with the Saints hosting the Cowboys. Taysom Hill expected to be under center. He's been MIA the last few weeks with a foot injury.
I think we're just getting to a point where I'm going to be dealing with pain, and it's just getting to the point where it doesn't limit, you know, functionality.
The Saints are winless since Jameis Winston tore his ACL. The Cowboys should have Amari Cooper back from COVID, but no Mike McCarthy and five assistants. In the NBA last night, Luka Doncic had 28 points and 14 assists in only 27 minutes as the Mavs routed the Pels 139-107. The Kings beat the Clippers at Staples 124-115. The Bucks topped the Hornets 127-125 on a Giannis hoop with 2 seconds left. The Celtics fought off the Sixers 88-86. And the Magic snapped their 7-game skid.
Franz Wagner turning the corner, handing it out, firing for three. Got it! Money! The wiry German drilling a three to put the Magic in the lead for the first time tonight.
And they stayed in that lead thanks to the wiry German. That was David Steele on Magic Radio. Orlando surprising Denver 108-103. Blazers guard Damian Lillard's out at least 10 days with an abdominal injury. College hoops number 14 Florida losing at Oklahoma 74-67. Number 18 Memphis took an 82-79 loss at Georgia. And number 24 Michigan run over at Chapel Hill 72-51. And from the NHL, Connor McDavid, 3 points in the Oilers' 5-2 win over the Penguins, and the Leafs with an 8-3 rout of the Avalanche. Toronto number one in the NHL thanks to 15 wins in its last 17 games. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Story popped this week. Got dug up actually from a couple of years ago that Matt LaFleur and Robert Sala were forced to dig out cars, shovel cars, because Brian Kelly, they were assistants on Brian Kelly's Central Michigan staff. So today's poll question, would you ever make your intern dig out your car? We'll answer that question with your answers to the poll and advanced analytics, rather, coming up here next, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
So we asked you guys today, in the wake of that story, that Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur had to dig out cars out of the snow for Brian Kelly's dinner parties when they were GA's assistants under him at CMU. Would you ever make your intern dig out your car for you from snow? 75% of you said no. About 70% of employers offer full-time positions to their interns. So it's a good way to get your foot in the door. 7 out of 10 interns get offered a full-time job. 1 out of 10 internships happen in the year following graduation. 6 months into his WFAN tenure, Mraz was asked by the boss, Mark Chernoff, quote, "How is the internship going?" And that's your advanced analytics. So, Mraz, you were already on staff getting paid for 6 months, and that's when the boss said, "How's the internship going?"
Yeah, so technically I had been at WFAN for a year, my internship, then into actually being employed for 6 months. And I got asked, "Yeah, Sean, how's your internship going?" in front of multiple paid employees that just burst out laughing in the newsroom.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Ferguson. Ferguson is proud to be part of what trade pros do. Their pro pickup service allows you to buy online and pick up in store, making business with Ferguson the easiest part of your hard day's work. Learn more at Ferguson.com. Tonight is Cowboys and Saints, and as I was saying at the end of last hour, if the Saints pull off the upset and win tonight behind Taysom Hill, number one, it'd be nice to see Taysom Hill actually win an important football game at quarterback since he's been bestowed so much money by Sean Payton. So this would be a good first step towards earning that paycheck, that in a pinch, in a spot, they can count on you to be better than Trevor Siemian. But number two, I mean, this is for the playoffs. I don't know how many more games the Saints can honestly think they can lose without knowing they are effectively out of the postseason. So they are in desperation mode. If it leads to a win over the Cowboys, it certainly doesn't mean that the Cowboys season is over by any stretch of the imagination. They would still be 7-6 and atop the NFC East because everybody else in the division is sub-500. The issue would be, it would be a 3-game losing streak for the Cowboys and losers of 4 of their last 5. And there would be the outside shot they could still lose the division because they've got 4 more games against divisional opponents, 2 against Washington, 1 each against the Giants and the Eagles. So it would suddenly become a little dicey about winning the NFC East. But even then at 7-6, I still think the Cowboys will easily win the division. I think it then becomes, in an NFC that is totally stacked, that has perhaps the 3 best teams in football, in the Packers, Cardinals, and the Buccaneers, and a Rams team that should be able at some point to get its stuff going because it did at 7-1 earlier in the season, the Cowboys would feel like an easy mark in the NFC playoffs. I mean, let's face it. If you are the 4 seed this year as the division winner, you'd hypothetically get the number 1 wild card, which would be the Rams. So do you want that if you're the Cowboys? I think at this point, 7-5, the way that they're playing, certainly feels like the 1 seed has gone out the window. A loss tonight would absolutely, I think, slam the door on that window. But I think more than that, it's, are the Cowboys just going to make the playoffs again and be 1 and done or make the divisional round and lose? Or can they significantly make a run in January? And a game like tonight is really good teams that can go deep in January. You got to win this game. We'll talk all about it tomorrow morning right here aboard the mothership. Okay, what did we choose for today's epic fail? There were a number of candidates.
You guys killing me for the way I explain the cultural revolution around ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing, 2007. What a time to be alive. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Somebody made millions on switching ranch into dipping cups everywhere. And all of a sudden, Wendy's was like, wait, I could do more than barbecue sauce and sweet and sour. I got ranch. It was crazy. It was a crazy time to be alive.
So it really was.
So your second year of college, freshman year for you?
Basically. And by the way, that's the only
thing. Well,
it was
the second year of his third stint in community college.
I couldn't tell you what I learned, what classes I took, but I could tell you that ranch change that happened in the CAF.
Boo Jello! Boo Jello!
It's just also amazing that you run in circles where, quote, everybody would be talking about ranch. Never in my life was, quote, everybody talking about any condiment. I could never say at any point in my 42 years on Earth, quote, everybody was talking about ranch.
No, but it's true. Jessen's Deli up the block by the high school, the chicken cutlet bacon mozzarella ranch dressing, nobody had done that. That was called the aioli because Matt Aioli had come up with the sandwich. And it was like the hottest selling item that year.
But, I mean, I've had burgers that good. It's the bread.
It's like a tickle me elbow.
Let's just say that circle doesn't run.
It was a tickle me elbow. There were lines out the door. Parents were killing each other to get the aioli sandwich.
Black Friday stampede to get a sando with ranch on it.
It was crazy. Crazy. Subway, crazy. To tell you. It was nuts.
Crazy. When I tell America that there's no place on earth that could have created Mraz aside from West Babylon, it's because of this. At one point in time, a random deli shop put ranch on a sando, and it was like, tickle me Elmo.
The bread is just incredibly good.
People had spears to try to kill one another to try to get the sando.
I was working in the food industry at that time. I was behind a sandwich counter. I saw the evolution. I saw the change. This isn't funny stuff here. It wasn't like Subway and West Babylon suddenly got ranch. Every Subway started to get in the bottles.
No,
it was insane.
The fact that
times.
We got this ranch. You want it?
No, it was a condiment cultural revolution. It was insane.
I like mayonnaise.
No, in your head, you were just going ranch, 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 ranch. Doesn't mean everyone was talking about it. Just your brain was.
I'm telling you.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Pete's got a great line in there. Here's some ranch. You want it? As he mimics the deli owner. Here's some ranch. You want it? Meantime, Mraz thinks it's a cultural revolution.
It was crazy.
Connor tweets, not Connor Green. Eggnog is one of the great wonders of the world. Have always loved it since I was a kid. Second, if you come to Wisconsin and put Tito's vodka in eggnog and not brandy or bourbon, we are throwing hands. So just remember that, Mraz. You're not going to be throwing Tito's vodka in eggnog if you do happen to go to Wisconsin.
I mean, I'll throw whatever I want to throw in there. The vodka's delicious in it.
No, but I think he's right. Brandy or bourbon feels like a much better solution than Tito's and eggnog.
Well, brandy's to warm you up. Not everybody likes brandy.
And no, I guess but it's covered up by the eggnog taste.
That's fine. I mean, to me, I'm a rum vodka person more than a brandy bourbon person.
Mac and Bear, who also has his Twitter handle say, unpipe it, says Mraz, are all of your dreams about food or just food smothered in ranch dressing?
I flipped, though. That's the other part of it. I think ranch has gone too crazy. It's a little overrated. I don't dream of it.
By the way, folks, didn't you happen to meet Mac and Bear at one of your games recently?
I did. We missed each other the very first game. I was down in Newark, and then I saw him the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Met him and his son before I went into the stadium, and it was awesome. He was way too excited to meet me. No one should be that excited to meet me, but he was, and it was much appreciated.
McInbear is a religious D-alien. He's been with us for a long time, and he lives in Delaware. And so you were calling the Blue Hens game, right? And he wanted to meet you outside the stadium before you went in to call it.
Yes, and we met in a strangely smelling McDonald's parking lot right outside the athletic complex. I rolled out the red carpet for McInbear. I think the fish fillets from the night before were rotting in the garbage near us as we embraced.
Look, if anything could perfectly personify this show, it's that when we finally meet the listeners, it's in a McDonald's parking lot that smells like old Filet-O-Fish. That these are our, that's our type of area. That's what represents us best.
Nothing says a moment.
Nothing says a moment, right.
Ho, ho, ho. Sports Giant.
McAbear likes that drop, so there is a drop for that.
Okay, so the 12 DAs of Christmas continue tomorrow with the second of the first four out. And so today and tomorrow have been first four out. Monday, Tuesday, first four out. Wednesday begins the countdown of the top 12 moments. Before we get there to next Wednesday, we're going to have an opportunity for you guys, listeners, hopefully, to be able to listen to all of the clips and rank them yourselves. And we will then have a fan vote as well factored into the equation. So stay tuned for that. We are working on that. The Wizard of Watch DA, hard at the algorithms on this. And eventually, when it's put together, we'll unveil it for you guys. So a chance to slide your own rankings and to make your own decisions based on the 12 DAs of Christmas. So that's going to be awesome. Tomorrow's a huge show, okay? We've got tons of football, the Wizard of Odds picks, the football food of the week. We've got the Tasty Top 5 of the championship game weekend. We got a ton to get to tomorrow. So fired up about that. Also in the Target Demo Friday. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. We've also got, of course, Andrew Bogish on our headlines and the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. Be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnect.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.